thank you to the Radio Norfolk duo. And now on with the news, and it's a bit more about sporting activities. The football club has a new management structure. There's a report on a half marathon and the success of a young Cromer golfer. And as for tennis, complaints are being made about the plans to do away with the city's grass courts. But you cannot get away from football, as even the news item about City Hall clock tower repair works has a football slant.
Alan Irvine will remain in interim charge of Norwich City until the end of this season, with a head coach appointment to follow very quickly after the season ends. The Canaries board met with new sporting director Stuart Webber at Carrow Road to begin planning for the club's new structure. Following that meeting, a statement was released saying, "We were delighted to formally welcome our new sporting director, Stuart Webber, to the club at our board meeting held at Carrow Road. Bringing in Stuart to lead all of our football operations and recruitment is the second of three key appointments we are making to radically change the way the club is run." Following on from the confirmation of Steve Stone's new role as managing director last month. The final part of the process is the appointment of a head coach to lead the first team.
Thousands of spectators lapped up the glorious sunshine at the Norfolk Showground, but for more than 2,000 runners, it simply made a tough job much, much more difficult. The wintry conditions of the last Larking Gowan City of Norwich half marathon in November 2015 were a far cry from soaring temperatures recently. A few runners succumbed. Heat exhaustion and the usual bumps and knocks meant a few spent the afternoon requiring treatment, but emerging through the blood, sweat and tears of the region's foremost event of its kind were some of Norfolk's leading runners. There was a 1-2 for organising club, City of Norwich AC, in the men's, with maths teacher Piers Arnold getting his timetable right and leading virtually all the way, finishing in 1 hour, 12 minutes and 32 seconds, more than a minute and a half ahead of Ash Harrell. First women's runner home was Emma Risby, who lives and works in Cromer. Although she wears the colours of Winchester and District AC, she finished in 1 hour, 27 minutes and 6 seconds. That's 35th overall.
Royal Cromer youngster Amelia Williamson is the first winner of a new women's trophy given by the England Golf Ambassador and Olympic champion Justin Rose. The 16-year-old claimed the Gold Rose Bowl by a single stroke with the best combined total from the Roehampton Gold Cup and the Hampshire Rose. It's the first time the prestigious scratch events have been paired, creating a 72-hole tournament which attracts world-ranking points. Williamson, a member of the England Golf's girls squad, was the leading amateur, an overall runner-up at Roehampton, and then tied seventh at North Hants to get her season off to a winning start. She was three over par for 72 holes and one clear of Catherine O'Connor of Wales. Another England Golf girls squad player, Hannah Screen from Berkhamsted, was third. "The overall win was my target, and it was nice after all the second places I had last season," said Williamson. They included being runner-up in the Fairhaven Trophies, the English Under-16 Girls' Championship, and the North of England Under-16s. Justine Rose's support has been welcomed by Rebecca Hembra, the England Golf Women's Performance Manager, who said, "The combination of these events provides a fantastic platform for the players, and we are delighted that Justin Rose has recognised the importance of helping women's amateur game."
Controversial proposals to remove Norwich's last remaining public park grass tennis courts to install floodlit all-weather ones will come under the spotlight at a public meeting. Plans have been lodged for changes to tennis courts in Harford Park, Lakenham Recreation Ground, Eaton Park and Hyme Park as part of a project which would cost £400,000. Norwich City Council is looking to join forces with the Lawn Tennis Association for the changes to replicate the success of Norwich Park's tennis programme, which has been running in Eaton Park. For the revamp to go ahead, the council would have to invest £140,000 from its capital budget. City Hall officers say that it's less than it would spend maintaining the current courts for 3.5 years. But the council would also have to be successful in a bid for £195,000 from the Lawn Tennis Association. However, the proposals for Hyme Park have proved to be particularly controversial, with Green councillors among those to criticise the move. They want to see the grass courts retained. They argue the current grass courts are an important element in the design of the historic park, that there are already 10 floodlit all-weather courts within walking distance of the park, and that the council has not been open and transparent about the plans.
The rivalry between Norwich City and Ipswich Town has reached new heights as blue and white sheeting appeared around the iconic City Hall clock tower in the centre of Norwich. Norwich's clock tower is currently undergoing a £200,000 repairs, which will last for 14 weeks. But controversial colour choices for the panels surrounding the scaffolding brought a much longer lasting feud to the surface. Norwich promoter David R. Gray tweeted on Tuesday afternoon, "Hats off to the Ipswich-based scaffolding company who have wrapped the clock tower of Norwich City Hall in blue and white." The post was retweeted over 400 times, with many Norwich fans angry their rival team's colours could be seen across the Norwich skyline. But Narfold Scaffolding in Swaffham, which is working on the City Hall project alongside Norwich City Council and Historic England, has confirmed blue and white are its company colours and nothing to do with the Tractor Boys. Darren House said, "I think that's the highest the blue and white colours are going to be in the next few years, especially after Norwich's great win at the weekend."
For a last feature, the Evening News has an extensive interview with the new chief executive of the Theatre Royal, in which he discusses his ideas for the future. It is read by Alan Shirley.